It will be Philippians chapter 2. It is my prayer that this day, when the world around us is celebrating the risen of Christ, the risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, or the one that they think is Him, it is my prayer that the rock of my soul, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, will look to each and every one of His children this morning through this message and say, "Blessed art thou, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." I pray the Lord will bless you with the revelation from God the Father of who His Son is, what He has done, and where He is at right this very moment. The world around us cries out for good works. They call out for good works in those who call themselves a follower of Christ. One who claims they follow Christ must also be a Christ doer of good things. They must be like Christ. Do you realize how ridiculous that is? How can you or I be like God? As long as we're in this flesh, we can be nothing like God. Be like Christ, or at the very least, strive to do the works that Christ did, they say. Serve the poor, give till it hurts, or as they see it, sacrifice themselves for mankind. Kind of like, for instance, that lady nun that was inducted into sainthood by the Catholic Church. You remember a few years back, the little, very thin lady, all dressed up in her nun outfit, she was had a couple hundred children around her that were poor and looked like they were hungry, and she had spent all of her life doing all these good deeds, and that was what got her into being a saint. I'm here to tell you this morning that if you are in Christ Jesus the Lord, you are a saint of God. Not by anything you have done, not by anything of you in the flesh at all, but by what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. And only by what He has done. Indeed, these verses that we're about to read encourage us to do good works. But read along with me, if you would, the first 15 verses of chapter 2. Philippians 2, chapter 1, or chapter 2, verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem another better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring, without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of the crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. My title this morning is Lights in This World. You see why I started with that introduction a moment ago. We've all heard the story once, but it bears repeating. There are churches in this world who do nothing but brag about what they do. That's what their light is. They show the world, this is what we do. We feed the poor. We go down to Mexico and we raise enough money that this poor Mexican village can have an ambulance. And they'll spend their worship time. We come here to worship the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Not what we do, but what He did. And they'll spend their time worshiping about what it is as they do. I've heard people say, every time I speak to them, oh, we had 20 people get saved in our church today. Oh, yeah, they all came because we were feeding the hungry, and they were hungry. And they heard the Word of God preached, and the Word of God saved them. I've seen a pool full of children, like a party in a baptismal, and it was called worship. Did you see all the children we baptized today? Wasn't that great? This is what the world looks to as lights. Show me your light. What glows inside of you? What does it mean to be lights in this world? What is our Lord and Savior speaking of here? How can I be as a light in the world, walking this path that is set before me? How can I let my light shine? To answer these questions, one must first understand what this light that shines in the true children of God, the true children of the Most High, is. And the only way to understand that is to do what I talked about last Sunday. Turn to the Word of God. This is where truth is, right here. The world believes that your light is your good works. It's called works religion. But once I tell you, we must look to Scripture. But as I once told you before, we must look to Scripture to find the answers of truth. Would you turn over to the book of John with me for just a moment, please? Mark your place here in Philippians. We'll come back to it. Turn over to the first chapter of John, if you would. In John chapter 1, verse 1, we read this: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." Are we beginning to get a picture of what the true light in God's people is? I'm not talking about some glow. "Oh, look at that sweet little lady that is helping the poor people out there. I love people like that. Don't get me wrong. I'm not making fun of her. What she does is admirable. Giving to the poor is a good thing. Taking care of our poor is something we should be doing out of a heart of love for those that God has brought into this world around us. But that's not the light of the world. Looking to those things as being heavenly things is missing the point. It brings people to think that if I could just do that too, I would be saved also. And that's a false hope. There is no good thing in this flesh. What our Lord does that's good in us is of the Spirit. You know, there's a reason why God tells us not to let our right hand know what our left hand is doing, because if it does know it, you know what's going to happen. We're going to start bragging on that right hand. It's our nature. It's what we do. It's what we are in the flesh. Young man came to me and he says, "You know, I don't know that I even want to live anymore." He goes, "I see all the wickedness that is in me. And it brings me so far down." And I said, "Son, the reason you see that wickedness is so that you can see the grace of God lifting you up. And that grace is something that comes from Him alone and from no place within you. It's His grace, it's His salvation, it's His love that holds us up in this world." And at the end of that conversation, that young man, the Lord had lifted up his soul to see what our Savior has done for us in love, having predestinated us to be into the adoption of children. Look over. Wait a minute. We're not talking about some glow in the way that one is, or a specialness by the way one acts in a certain way. We're talking about the light of this world. Now look at verse 5. "And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Turn over to John 3:16 for just a second. Hold your place. We're coming right back. You know these words. You know these words very well. Most of the world does, but they don't look to the words that follow afterwards, where it says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. And this is condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Now back into John 1, please. This light is not the light that natural man can see, for our darkness is loved by us. We love what we do. We love what we are. We love the darkness, for it hides the truth. It hides the truth about what we are. I understood what this young man said when he came to me, and he says, I don't know if I can handle. I see the sin that's in my flesh. I understand that. And if you're a child of God, so do you. Because you deal with the very same thing that this young man did. We have to fight against what's in us. We have to turn away from what the flesh wants to do. Paul was struggling with that. He says, I do that which I shouldn't, and I don't do that which I should. Is there anyone here today that can relate to that? We love the light, or the darkness, because it hides the truth. It hides what our nature is. It hides what our state is. It hides what our standing before God, the Creator. I tell you here this morning, thus saith the Lord, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We come into this world born in darkness, and we love that darkness. The darkness gives us false sense that we are more than what we are. Gives us a sense that we have power over creation. Satan put it this way when he deceived Eve in the garden. He said in Genesis 3:4, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, little gods, knowing good and evil. In the darkness, we think of ourselves as gods, having power to do whatever it is that we do, because we willed to do it. There's no such thing as free will. Oh, you have a will. God has given us all a will. For 40 years, John Reeves walked in his will. Which is really, when you think about it, God's will. God allowed me to wander in this world for 40 years. There was a time when I got a little bit stuck on that because Moses wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Don't let yourself be compared to other things that God has spoken of. It'll turn your thoughts away from the truth. But for 40 years, God allowed me to exercise my will. And then He arrested it. And He showed me that it's always been His will. He showed me that it was His will to call me out of darkness and bring me into the loving, warm, wonderful love that He has for me. A love that He has had for me from the beginning of all things. That 40 years I walked was nothing more than me walking according to my nature, sinning against God, not believing. John the Baptist came crying in the world in the wilderness. In Matthew 3:3, you don't need to turn there, for this is he that was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying that the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. He came speaking of Christ. How can you shine your light in the world around you? You do. If you belong to the Lord, Jesus Christ, to God Almighty, to our Savior, you go through this world giving Him all the glory. You realize that we give God the glory when we say it is His hand who brought this virus into our country right now. That's giving Him the glory. That's admitting that He works all things out according to His will. You give God all the glory when you're driving down the road and all the lights are turning red and you're saying, "Oh, the Lord is protecting me from something." You give God all the glory when you're out working on a building somewhere, hammering it, so I came close, but the Lord saved me from putting a nail through my finger. You give God the glory when you're speaking with people around you and your family or friends and you say, "God did that. I don't believe in luck." They might tell you, "Oh man, you were lucky." No, I wasn't lucky. There's no such thing as luck. My God rules over everything. You don't have to hit them over the head with a Bible. You belong to the Lord. You're calling Him for who He is. The light's shining in you, even if you don't see it. This young man who is distressed about the sin he sees in the flesh, he knew who the light was. And by the end of that conversation, he was declaring it. What a blessing. And you do the same thing, folks. Oh, we don't do it like we want to. Does anyone here do things the way they want to? I want to be as good as I can. I want to turn away from sin every chance I can. I want to be helpful to those who need help. I want to show my love to my brethren. But I fail. I fail desperately. But when I fail, I look to my Savior and I say, "See, He has not failed. Everything He did is perfect. It's what He did. It's not what John does. It's not what you do. It's what He did for us. That's our light. That's the light that lights up in us as we go through this world. Look at that guy. He did that. And you call yourself a Christian? I know I did. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. But my Lord did it perfectly. And that's the righteousness I stand in Him." John the Baptist was an example of that light shining. John the Baptist was no different than you and I, folks. In fact, actually, if you think about it, he was walking around with what, burlap sack on him and eating beeswax or eating honey. He was kind of a weird guy for that time of day, wasn't he? For that time of the world. A little different. He wasn't dressed up in all those nice clothes that all the religious people had. He didn't come talking about, "You got to do this and you got to do that and you got to do this." No, he came, "Salvation is of the Lord. Jesus Christ is the one who's coming. The one who will come and save His people." John the Baptist is our example of walking in the light of this world, letting our light shine. You can do all the good works you want. And I encourage you to do all the good works you can. But nobody's going to see Christ in you through those works. Not the true living Christ. Christ did all those things as He walked this earth and nobody saw Him then, did they? You want the light to shine in you, shine the Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty, in your life. We trust, we believe, Our faith is in Christ Jesus the Lord. We declare Him as our as He is revealed in Scripture. That's what it means to go forth unto the world and preach, to proclaim the good news of the gospel, Christ and Him crucified. We declare He is God in the flesh. In Philippians 2:5, it said, we read this just a moment ago, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Look at verse 6 through 15 of John chapter 1. There was a man sent of God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that John bare witness of, was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Read this carefully, folks. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Lights in this world. The true lights. Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Go back to Philippians chapter 2, if you would, please. We declare who He is, what He has done for us, not for the world, but for those whom gave He power to become the sons of God. But we must also consider verse 13 of John chapter 1, shouldn't we? Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. In the third chapter of John, verse 8, we read this, the Lord speaking himself, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. The wind is blowing in all the different directions, but you don't know where it came from. You know, in this little valley we have here, we've heard Pastor Gene speak time or two about how blowing the leaves out there in the parking lot is just amazing. You can blow a leaf this way and the Lord will pick it up and bring it around and set it behind you. Where'd that wind come from? Where's it going next? I'll get over there behind it, move that leaf. Our Lord says, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. We declare His works and salvation for His people. Look at verses 6, 7, and 8 again of Philippians 2. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Our Lord and Savior thought it not robbery to be equal with God because He is equal with God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are one God. Three distinct persons, absolutely. Absolutely. But one God. That's Scripture. Now you ask me, John, to define that. I can't do that. His ways are not my ways. How can any man define that? But I know it's so. He says, I and my Father are one, does He not? He says in the book of Genesis, there is one God. Yet here he calls him, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Heaven came down and was made flesh. And being found, verse 8, in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. We declare salvation is of the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ willingly went to the cross, obedient to the covenant that was made between the great three and one. God the Father chose a people before the world was, as we read in Ephesians 1:3. You don't need to turn there. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. As it should be, as it will be, because he has made it so. He has determined, according as he hath chosen us in him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. We're holy and without blame right now. I know it doesn't look that way when you look in the mirror, but we are. God's Word. In love, it says in verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. By his sovereign grace, he gave this people to his Son. In the 10th chapter, verse 29, our Lord and Savior says, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. We declare that salvation is accomplished. It is finished, is what our Lord cried from the cross. The work is done. Israel, your warfare is accomplished. The power of God was shed at that cross. The sheep of God were saved by the works on that cross, and our sins were laid upon him. He who knew no sin was made sin, that we would be made righteous in him. He bore our sins in his own body, is what the word says. God looks upon his people and he sees the perfect blood of his Son, and he sees no sin in us. I never get tired of hearing that. Do you? If you do, may God allow you to fall into your sin for a moment, that you would look to him for grace. That's what happens. When do we call on the Lord the most? But when we're the weakest. In our weakness, he is made strong. Our sins are gone. The ones we have committed before, the ones that we are committing this very day, and the ones that we will commit till the Lord takes us out of this world. And you will continue to commit sins. If you say you don't, then you call God a liar. We must battle this flesh until the day the Lord takes us home. The day that has been marked from before anything was ever made. The means by which we will leave this world has already been set. Our sins are gone, never to be seen again. Atonement has been made. Blessed Redeemer, Jesus is mine. Not by any works of my own, but by his own blood. I didn't choose Christ, He chose me. And nothing can stay the hand of God. Isaiah 14:24, we read in last week's message. I read again, the Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand. Was it God's purpose that Christ should come to this world and shed His own blood? Was it God's purpose that that blood should save a people? Those who say God came and died for everybody don't say that. They say that the purpose of God can be turned by the will of men, by the creation. I tell you this, if Christ died for the whole of mankind, then all mankind would have been saved. Grace. That's what was exercised on that cross. Grace is what was exercised when the Lord bled every drop of blood out of His body. Grace is what was exercised when God died in our stead. We declare by the life-giving power the Spirit is calling, drawing, bringing all that the Father giveth to Christ through the preaching of His gospel, the good news. The same gospel that feeds the sheep of Christ calls His sheep unto Himself. We read in 2 Timothy 1 verse 9, who has saved us, speaking of Christ, speaking of the Spirit, and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose. There it is, that word purpose again. His purpose, not ours. Not our decision, but His decision to choose us as a people before the world was. His own purpose, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. The light that shines in God's people is Christ Himself. We speak of grace. We speak of how our Lord is gracious to us because we know what we've earned. We know what we deserve. But we also know what our God, our Lord, our Savior has done for us. He took what we deserve upon Himself. Does that not bring cheer to your heart? Is that not something you need to hear over and over again, how our Lord loved Himself and gave Himself for us? I do. The light that shines in God's people is Christ Himself. Good works will follow, yes. Because He who has begun a good work in us, He who has begun a good work in His people, will finish it. In Philippians 1 verse 6 we read this, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. But folks, good works is not that light. Christ is our light. John 8 verse 12 says this, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. What does it mean to be a light in this world? It means to have Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ is our light. He is the hope of glory. We declare this light sits on the throne of glory. Death could not hold Him. 1 Corinthians 15 verses 55 through 57, we read this, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Whew! Does the light get any better than that? Does it get any better than that? Oh, It doesn't get any better than that to this poor sinner. Look again at our text in Philippians 2, verses 8 through 11. And being found, speaking of our Savior, in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Folks, Christ is on his throne this very moment. God the Father has made him the object of all worship. The weakness of men will draw them to worship themselves. We would be standing exactly in that same position if it wasn't for the grace and mercy of our Lord. Worshiping ourselves. Worshiping what it is what we do. Worshiping the good works that we do. Our Lord is on his throne. All power in heaven and earth are given unto him. They are his to use as he sees fit, and he shall lose nothing. As the King of Kings, as the Lord of Lords, he is right now making intercession now for all whom for whom he died. Can anything stay the hand of God? I tell you this morning, folks, all the fullness of the Godhead. And this is what the Lord says, all the fullness of the Godhead dwelleth in him, in our Savior, in Jesus Christ. When you worship the Son, you worship the Father. If you don't worship the Son, you don't worship the Father. We declare Christ as Lord of all, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, sovereign ruler of all that is. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Our great God tells us to take his yoke upon us. Take his yoke upon us. I don't know about you folks. I assume. But I don't know your hearts. Our greatest weakness, our greatest foe, it's not that thing called devil. It's not that being called Satan. He's just a barking dog. And he's God's dog on a chain. He goes about roaring as a lion. No. Our greatest foe is right here. It's within us. It's within me. Our greatest struggle is the struggle within. The weakness of the flesh. I encourage you, put your flesh aside and rest in Christ. Let him be your light. Lean on it. Turn it over to him. He says, my grace is sufficient. He wasn't just speaking to Paul. He was talking to you and I. He was telling us, as we struggle with those things, that flesh inside of us, turn it over to God. Lord, help me with this. My grace is sufficient. He has risen from the dead, and he is working all things out as he always has, for the good of his people, for the good of his called, for the good of his chosen, for the good of the people that he has loved with an everlasting love. Can anything separate one from God who is loved of God? No. Turn over to Matthew chapter 5 if you would. And we'll bring this to a close. Folks, it's not our good works that shine in us. It's His work. While you're turning to Matthew chapter 5, allow me to read from John chapter 6, verse 27, where it says, where our Lord is speaking, He says, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For Him hath God the Father sealed." Then said they around about Him unto Him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" You think the Lord said, "Well, here's what you need to do the works of God. You need to go down to the mission 3 days a week and feed the missionary, feed the poor. You need to turn over a third of your money to those who don't want to work so that they can continue to live. You need to help the sick." Did the Lord say that? No. Let me tell you what He did say. He said this. Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on Him who He hath sent." You want the light to shine in your life? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's what He says, isn't it? You want the light to shine in your life? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. We declare the works of the Lord. As we see in John 3:14, and it says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Our light shining in us is lifting up our Savior before the world around us. Where is the hope that you have? How do you go about through this virus that's tearing the world apart around us right now? How do you go about it with such a wonderful attitude? "My Savior is in control." That's how. I love life still, even though the people are dying around us. I love life still because my Savior is still in control. He still sits on His throne. He still works all things out according to His will. "Whosoever believeth on Him shall not perish but have everlasting life." John writes it this way. He says, "I must decrease." No, you know, I think that was Paul. I'm sorry. Actually, I didn't write down where I got that verse, but it's there, and I'll get it for you. "I must decrease that He may increase." That's the left hand not telling the right hand what it did, but what Christ did. And going about doing what we need to do as we walk through this world. Look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16. "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under the bushel, but on the candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Our light is Christ in us, the hope of glory. Go out, folks, today. As you leave this building, go out into the world, the valley of the shadow of death, and fear no evil. For He is with us. His rod and His staff are our comfort. He prepares a table for each and every one of us. A table before us in the presence of our enemies. He anoints our heads with the oil of His Word. Our cups really do runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So let your light shine. Amen. Stand.